table. I'm gonna grab it real quick. Boo, I know, stalling. All right, important piece of the message here. I've been carrying it around all morning, so I forgot it. All right. Good morning. I feel like I haven't been around for a couple weeks. Traveling to General Conference 2 weeks ago in Michigan. I was here for like a day, and then I went on a cruise with the family this last week, and we got back on Friday night. And so I feel like I've been all over the place, and I don't know if you guys have felt that way, just busy, summer's coming to an end, all that stuff. But for me, this morning has been taking a breath, relaxing, getting back into the groove, reestablishing myself here, and knowing like this is where I'm supposed to be. Those last two songs, Promises by Maverick City is one of my favorite songs. And then Calling Me Out Onto the Deep of the Waters, it was like God was speaking to me. I felt like I was back on the boat again, just picturing the ocean, like the massive ocean out there as we stood out on the deck and thinking about God calling me into the deep. And I was like, oh, what? Is he speaking to me? And it fits perfectly with this series, because we're going to enter into a new series this morning for the next 5 weeks, looking at our senses. Senses, the sense of sight, the sense of smell, touch, taste, and hearing, which we're going to do today. We're going to talk about hearing God and God hearing us. And my hope for this series, as we walk through this, is that we would experience God through all of our different senses. Because if we think about it, if God is our great creator, if you are a believer in Jesus and you are a student of the Word, as it starts in Genesis, there is a story of how God has created us. And by God creating us, if you believe that God is the creator God, he made us exactly how he intended us to be made. And each of us are given different senses. Some of us are lacking or are have less of some senses than others. But I've heard that if you don't have one of those senses, it heightens the other senses, right? So if you're missing the sense of sight, right, then your ears become more adapt to hearing certain things, right? It becomes, you have a stronger sense of hearing. If you are missing the sense of hearing, visually you tend to see more things or pick up on more things than those who might be missing or have a loss of hearing, okay? I want to look at how God intends us to experience him through our senses, okay? And as we enter into this one this morning, talking about hearing, I'll talk about our Bible for a second. If we have an ear that is attuned to God's voice, and God is trying to speak to us, I liken the Word of God to a tuning fork. How many of you guys are musicians in here? I understand the idea of a tuning fork. Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. A tuning fork has a perfect pitch to that certain key that you're looking for. So if you're looking for the key of C and you hit that tuning fork, it should play the key of C. Is that right? Am I right on that? Okay. If we're looking at the voice of God and we want to hear the voice of God, the Bible is our tuning fork. Meaning, this is what God has spoken to us. God has given us his voice in written form. Okay? In this Bible, the Holy Bible, we have the story of God's interactions with us from the beginning of time to the end of time. It has a story for us. Within this word of God, there are words that have a historical meaning, a purpose, an intention for a certain people, but there's also purpose in it for you specifically. In the Brethren Church, we are a combination of Anabaptists and Radical Pietists. Radical Pietism says that it is your responsibility to develop your relationship with God. That you have the ability to speak directly to God and hear directly from God. And Jesus makes all of that possible. That Jesus' work for us in his life, death, and resurrection has given us the opportunity to be able to approach the throne room of God personally and have a conversation with him. Our ears are designed to hear. And when we hear, okay, when we hear, oftentimes we can pick out something that is intended specifically for us. Picture yourself in a room. Maybe you're at the brewery where there's a lot of noise bouncing off all the different walls. Maybe you're at a gathering, a party, where there's 100 people and they're all talking, having casual conversations with people. But you tend to be able to still have a conversation with those who are sitting closest to you, right? Those who are sitting closest to you, you can talk across the table. You can hear what they're saying to you. Some of you have a harder time doing this than others. Blocking out all of the residual noise around you. However, if you hear someone say your name at a table next to you, what do? Huh? Are you talking about me? Right? If someone says your name, even if you've never heard the voice before, you tend to go, oh, was that, did I hear, did someone say Jason? Right? There's actually a name for this. It's called the cocktail party effect. Okay? Your voice, when someone says your name, you tend to be able to pick it out even in the midst of a large crowd. Now, I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Okay? So our first... Oh, I got to turn this thing on. I'm terrible with the clicker. Prague, is this thing working for me? Oh, that's all right. I'll let you switch it for me when you get there, all right? Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When I was a young man, I used to keep, and I probably should start doing this again, but I had a journal. I don't know if you guys have ever journaled before, but I had a journal that I would keep specifically for my personal relationships with God. It was called my secret prayer journal. And when I prayed to God, there were oftentimes God would speak to me in my prayers and give me a vision or a word that he meant just for me. Never shared it with anybody, right? I believe God wants us to have that kind of relationship with him, where he's speaking unsearchable things to you. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. I've said it for many years as throughout my tenure as a pastor. When I stand up here, I don't want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear God's voice. I want you to hear what he might be speaking to you. One of the things that we value at Northgate even is having multiple different voices that come up here and speak different messages so that you don't get attuned to just my voice as Jason Hunsinger, but you get attuned to a voice that of the Lord speaking to you. And I consider myself successful as a pastor if I'm able to point you into the direction of the Word of God, that you would hear the voice of God speaking to you through the Scripture. That when we read verses like Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, where it says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That it wouldn't be dependent, that your relationship with God would not be dependent on a Sunday morning or a message from a pastor, but it would be dependent on the searching of the Scriptures so that God would speak directly to you. God wants to know you. God is calling out to you as you call out to him. In John chapter 10, verse 27, says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. God's desire is to speak to you. Can you hear him? I think we live in a time where we're just so busy, and myself included. I had to repent last night of my busyness. Even though all the things that I'm doing, I know they have importance to them. Spending a week with my family on a boat, enjoying each other's presence. We had such a blast. But I didn't get my morning quiet time. I had to take time this morning before church to just walk around the church and spend some time with God. And as I was walking, I tried to be purposeful of the different senses that God might be speaking to me. I listened and I heard birds in the air, and I thought of Matthew chapter 6, where he said, ask the birds of the air and look at the lilies of the field, and they will tell you how much God takes care of them and how much more he will take care of us. And I smelled the air and I smelled the fresh pine trees on the bike path. Right? And I thought of those times up in the mountains when I was at Hume Lake where I was spending extra hours underneath the stars and the skies and the forest and recognizing God's creation upon earth. And I saw people walking around and I saw the beauty that he has created. And I smelled, and I had coffee in my hand and I could smell the coffee. And I tasted it and I thought, God is so rich and God is so good. He gives us these bold flavors to taste and see. And I felt the cup that was made of foam. I was like, this is soft and it's good. And I came and I gave people hugs at church, and I was like, these are all the senses that God has created for me to experience God in this earth. Through all of the ways, the facets, the mind, the brain, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, to know that God is here speaking. And I thought, this is what I want for us as a church. I want us to experience God in such ways in this earth where our senses are exploding, knowing that God has created all of these things for us to know him. He wants us to know him. This is a constant promise that God hears us, God knows us, God loves us. In other ways, when we cry out to God, God hears us. In Psalms chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, it says, I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping, drench my couch with tears. Someone in deep darkness, right? My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for the mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Some of us are in times of busyness. Some of us are in times of joy. And some of us are in times of sorrow. God hears you. When we cry out to God, God hears you. And if you're asking the question of, does God care for me or does God hear me? Let this be a promise to you that God hears you. God knows you, that God has a purpose for you, and God loves you. In that wilderness, when we are in sorrow or we're in darkness or we're in pain or we're in fear, when we cry out, God hears us. In Psalms chapter 130, verses 1 through 2, it says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. God hears us. Can we just spend, I want to spend a minute in prayer real fast. Father God, I know I'm coming to you in a place of busyness. It's been a crazy, hectic summer. And I want to experience your peace. I surrender those things of this summer, and I ask that you would speak to us here and now in this place. God, for those who might be experiencing sorrow or pain or hurt because of the loss of a loved one or a pain in the body or a mental illness or a hurt that has happened in their life, God, I pray that we'd be able to express those pains, those fears, those hurts to you. And I pray that you would hear us, God. Hear our cries as a people in need of a Savior. Hear our cries as a people in need of a doctor, a physician, a helper, a paracletos, an advocate for us, Father God. And in response, God, we turn our hearts in silence to hear your voice. We ask that you would speak to us. Give us an audible sound from the scriptures or from a brother or sister that's speaking words over us, words of love, words of affirmation, words of healing, words of hope. I pray that we would hear, God, your voice being spoken to us. God, as we read your word, may your word become alive to us. May it speak to us with boldness and truth. Even if it hurts, even if it cuts us to the bone, even if it is correction, God, may we hear it. Pray this in your name. Amen. One of the prayers that I prayed this morning with Dorothy and Woody in the prayer room is that if we have ears that are closed, may God open them. That our ears would be open to hear what God may be speaking to us. And so I just want to read a scripture for you, and then I want to listen to a song as well. In this scripture, it's a story of a tax collector and a Pharisee. And now I want you guys to listen to it. I'll put it on the screen here too so that you can read it if you want to, if you follow along with your eyes. But it's from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.' These men came to the temple to pray. The Pharisee doesn't even realize how uselessly pious he is, but the tax collector, he's aware of his situation, and he realizes that he's been putting God on hold. So he comes to God and he says, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" Which prayer did God hear? Which man was exalted as being humble? I want you guys to know that you don't have to get yourself right or in order before you approach God. You don't have to be perfect or righteous or an example to all these other people to approach the throne of God. In fact, he says he just wants us to humbly approach him exactly the way that we are. Whether we've been walking in sin our entire lives or whether we know him or not, he wants us to approach his throne humbly and say, "God, have mercy on me." That's what the tax collector did, and God looked on him with favor. Now, each one of us individually are in different places with God. And I believe that when we speak to God, it is a sound that arises to heaven, and he hears you, right? He hears each one of us. Some of us, our prayers sound beautiful, and they're eloquent, and they're words that have been crafted, and we have a way of saying things that sound good to other people. Other of us, we might stumble in the words that we say, as we say to God. Like, even myself, I have a stutter at times. You might not pick it up, but I stutter sometimes on my words. And we lift them to God, and God hears each one of them. One of the things that I've been convicted about recently is that God likes to hear our voices individually, but what makes us unique as a church is when we join together in communal repentance, communal prayer, and communal worship. I want to play this song for you as an example of what it might be like when God hears our prayers. And the guy that's singing, you guys will probably recognize him. He has one of the most beautiful voices in the entire world. He's going to sing a hymn for us. Prog, can you go ahead and play it for us? Just the first minute.
Thank you.
Andrea Bocelli has a beautiful voice. As an individual, he stands out as one of the best singers ever. He can express himself with precision, with accuracy. He's on tune. It sounds beautiful, right? Each one of us individually, when we make a sound to God, God hears us like that. But many of us are talented in other ways as well. And when you add the orchestra in, I want you to listen to what that sounds like. This is Andrea Bocelli with the instruments. Beautiful, right? It's beautiful. When the orchestra joins in and there's music that backs up the sound of the voice, creates a masterpiece of sound for our ears to enjoy. The last section of this song, the angels join in. The songs of the saints, the choir pours in to the song, and I believe that this is the sound that we will hear when we enter into heaven and join with all of the saints that have passed before us. It's a song of collaboration of all the voices gathering together. Go ahead and play this last section. For those of you that are musicians, you can pick out all the different parts to that song. And as incredible as Andrea Bocelli is by himself, How much better is he when he is joined with an orchestra and a choir that surround him? There are harmonies that he cannot hit by himself, higher and lower. There are pitches that he cannot hit by himself. There are things that cannot be given to the entire concert without the use of others or the gathering together of others. Church, we need each other. We need each other. I need you. My family needs you. We need each other in times of pain, in times of hurt. And we need each other to worship God. Individually, we can be the most spectacular person in the world. But without each other, it's not complete. That's the importance of church. And that's why we gather. We gather together because just as important as it is for me to individually approach God, it's that much more important for us communally to approach God in song. And God hears us. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We testify together as a church of the goodness of God. We're going to sing two last songs here at the end of the service. Worship team, you can come on up. And when we are singing, I don't want you to focus specifically on your own voice, but I want you to focus on the collaboration of the church together, lifting up a song of praise to Jesus. He will hear us, and we will hear each other. Let me pray as we enter into this song, Father God. You are good. I pray that as we sing these last two songs, you would hear our hearts expressed to you through music. And as we listen, God, we would hear your voice spoken back into us through scripture and through our brothers and sisters around us. May our ears be open to hear the goodness of the glory of God. I pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand together.